This morning, I asked you to turn to Genesis, and then I never did read the verse in Genesis. Got carried away on other things. But I'm going to read the verse that I was going to read to you this morning. Okay? Now, remember, I gave you the third point this morning. We had looked last week at the founding of marriage. We looked at the fall of marriage, and this morning we dealt with fixing the marriage. And the verse I wanted to read to you was Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. I'll read it to you. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." That one verse right there speaks of fixing the fall. Because in that verse you have blood atonement. You have a sacrifice. And I told you this morning, before you could fix your marriage, you must fix yourself. And what I meant by that was, of course, you must be saved, must know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and must commit yourself to Him before you ever fix your marriage. All right, tonight, now in Colossians chapter 4, we'll look tonight, introduce to you this idea of speech, proper communication. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I've told you that from statistics given by marriage counselors and therapists, that they would say that the two number one reasons for divorces, number one is sexual problems, and number two is financial problems. I disagree with that, of course. All sexual problems are caused by a lack of communication. All financial problems are caused by a lack of communication. Of course, most marriage counselors and therapists would say that sexual problems is the number one reason for divorce, because usually that's the reason that people give, because whatever problems they're having, it usually leads to unfaithfulness sexually. So that would tend to be what most people call the number one problem. But again, I think that the number one problem that leads to divorce is the lack of or the wrong kind of communication. The lack of or the wrong kind of communication. Now, the Bible's clear. If we're going to walk together, what must be true of us? We must be agreed. Amos 3:3. Now, that's true of a church, and that's the reason why we want everyone to be in agreement when it comes to our constitution. That's true of a marriage. You're not going to walk together very well unless you are agreed. And the only way you're going to be in agreement when it comes to your marriage is through communication, and it's going to take a lot of communication. It's not going to take a little. Sort of interesting, as we look at the idea here, now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, I better read the verse before I forget to do that. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And notice it here, it says, how you ought to answer. It doesn't say what you ought to answer, it says how you ought to answer. And a lot of times it's how you say something is as important as what you say. And we'll deal with that a little bit more as we go through, but just for just a little bit of word study here before we get started. The word communication comes from a Latin word. It's derived from a Latin word, which is cumanus. And it literally means to have in common. It is a word that, if we go from the Greek language, which our New Testament is translated from, we'd go to a word in our New Testament that's translated communion. It comes from a Greek word, koinonia, which means it's to have in common, to have fellowship. It's translated communion. It's translated fellowship. It's translated partners. It's translated partakers. It's translated communicate in your New Testament and a few other things. But the word communion is where, again, very first cousin to the word communication, isn't it? To have in common. And if we're going to have something in common, we're going to have to know it. And the only way we can know things of commonality is for us to tell each other as husband and wife. We deal with words in our English language. You know, communication, you look it up in your dictionary. I looked it up in the New American, New World Webster's Dictionary, and it gave this definition: to make known. To make known. To exchange information. It means to intercourse by words of thoughts and opinion. You say, well, this is elementary. Yes, it is, but there's so much wrong communication and so much lack of communication, I thought I'd go to the elementary start first, okay? But the word communicate, what about the word conversation? We use that word. Conversation, it means an act of talking. It means a verbal exchange. Then the word dialogue, it means a talking together, an interchange and discussion of views. Get this meaning now, seeking a mutual understanding. That's what dialogue is. And then, of course, just the good old hillbilly term, talk. Talk. It means an exchange of ideas by speaking. You know, I've heard people say, well, we've been around each other so long, we know what each other's thinking without even speaking. You won't for long, because everybody changes their mind so much. Right? When it comes to speaking, however, it's sort of interesting. There's more to communication than just words. More to communication than just words. What about the parts of communication? You say, what are you talking about? Yeah, words. Words are part of communication, right? What about the tone of voice? That's another part of communication, isn't it? What about your body language? That's another part of communication. Believe it or not, communication experts say words are only 10% of communication. Tone of voice is 40% and body language is 50%. I'm not an expert on communication. I've not really done that much research into it. I've read a lot about it, but I don't know if I would say that body language is 50% of communication. But that's what they say. The parts of communication are words, tone of voice, and body language. Now, one thing I have learned as a husband, that my tone of voice is more important to my wife than what I say in words. It doesn't work on a dog at all. So you can look at a dog and say, you're an ugly mutt. You can say all the words you can, but you know, you're an ugly mutt, and they'll look at you. You're an ugly mutt. Now, tone of voice makes a lot of difference to a dog. Words don't, forget that. To people, tone of voice and words and body language equals a complete communication. You act like you don't care, you can forget saying that you do care. They're not going to receive your meaning. But not only are there parts of communication, there are positions of communication. Or I could say patterns of communication. It ranges from absolutely no involvement, really, to heavily being involved in a person's life. You know, you can pass somebody on the street and not know them from Adam, and you can say, how you doing? Right? Absolutely no involvement in a person's life, and you've communicated a little bit. We call that cliches. By the way, when you're not involved in a person's life like that, you, quote, can communicate, and there's no part of you that really is going to be hurt. There's no vulnerability on your part in that type of relationship. However, you go to another level, another pattern, another position of communication. It's called narration. It's giving information. It's reporting the facts, and you can report facts to anybody. You can go to the doctor and report facts. You can be stopped by a policeman and report facts, you know. And you step up another level in involvement and vulnerability and the possibility of being hurt. Then you go to another level where you give opinions, you give dreams, you give hopes, you give ideas, you give judgments and that type of thing. You step up in another level of involvement, and you also step up in another level of possibility of being hurt. You go into another pattern or another position of communication. We're dealing with feelings and emotions, and you know, you talk to people about how you feel about things, and again, you share more ideas and more judgments and get involved more in people's lives, and guess what happens? Your involvement with them steps up, but also the possibility of getting hurt is greater. Then you become another level where you become personal with someone. Then when you become intimate with someone in your relationship of communication, where you talk about all kind of personal things with people, and all of a sudden you're more involved, but you're a whole lot more likely to get hurt in a relationship like that. I've told a number of people that's made this statement to me, well, I don't want to get hurt. And I look at them and say, don't go into ministry then. If you go into the ministry, you're going to get involved with people's lives, and you're going to get hurt. Very likely you're going to get hurt. You better know that up front. By the way, If you don't want to get hurt, don't get in a relationship with a person of the opposite sex. Don't even think about getting married. Because if you do, it's very likely you're going to get hurt somewhere along the way. That's a part of communication. And some people say, well, I'll just withdraw, I'll be quiet, I won't speak much because I don't want to get hurt much. You're going to be miserable in your life. I'd rather get involved in people's lives, I'd rather become personal with people in my life, even though that may lead to getting hurt, even though it may lead to being vulnerable. That's what God expects of us. All through the Word of God, and we're going to see this as we go through this study on communication, that's what God wants. That's the reason why God has so much in the Word of God said to you and me about Him comforting a broken heart. Aren't we promised Him to meet the need of a broken heart, to comfort us and to meet our needs? Don't you think that implies that you might be hurt somewhere along your life's way? And here, that's a part of communication and being willing to do that. Now, one other thing I've learned about communication is that men and women communicate totally different. Totally. I mean, it's men deal with facts. I mean, now this is a very strong generalization. You may say, well, I know a woman that's not that way, or a man that's not this way. Yeah, you might know a few, but as a whole, you're not going to know too many. Almost all men are fact-oriented. Almost all men are rational. All men are logical. Most men, you know, they're thinking about the bottom line. Their thoughts are gearing to solve a problem. And most men find it extremely difficult to express their emotions. That's most. Now, on the other hand, women are feeling-oriented. Most women, instead of being rational and logical, are emotional and random. Now, when I make these statements, I'm not condemning. I'm giving general facts about the way we communicate. Most women are geared to talk through their problems and how they feel with everything. Men don't like to talk about that. They just want to get it solved and move on. That's the way we men are, and that's the reason why there's communication problems. And women finds it very easy to tell you how they feel. You know, my wife asked me questions, you know, throughout our life. And, you know, how do you feel about that? I didn't feel anything about that. You know, what do you mean? No, I didn't feel anything about it. I mean, that part bounces off most of the time. And she, you know, from being a woman that likes to express her feelings and from a man that really doesn't like to express his feeling or don't even think about the feeling part, you know, well, you have a possibility of hurt feelings on the lady's part. And me sitting back on the other side saying, well, what's wrong with you? Right? Y'all have ever done that? Oh, yeah, a lot of you sitting there, yeah. Well, that's just because of the way God made us. And listen, we got to understand how God made us for us to move into the first thing I want you to see, and that's the purpose of communication. I'm only going to give you one point tonight. There's three that I want to look at. The purpose of communication. Now, what is the purpose in communication? Now, I gave you six reasons why and how God planned out marriage, six reasons that we gave. Now, all of those reasons, all six of those, you know, having children, controlling the world environment, companionship and completion and cleaving, and that the last and the most important one, really the first one, the composite photograph, how we're supposed to be a complete picture to the world of Christ and the church. All of those, all six of those are fostered by communication. Now get that. All of those are fostered. And by the way, all of those reasons should be being fulfilled in the life of a couple within God's control. Now communication is not only the key to correcting any problem that may be in one of those six areas, but it is the foundation for building an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. It is the foundation for building togetherness in the marriage. Communication. See, I know lost people where a husband and wife have good communication. And they have a relative happy home, even as lost individuals. My grandfather was a drunk. But it was amazing. I mean, a bootlegging drunk. But he and my grandmother talked all the time. And they were married 60 years. Had 13 kids. And was relatively happy. I mean, when he was not drunk, they were a happy couple. When I was around them as a boy, they laughed and talked when he wasn't drunk. Now, when he was drunk, you didn't want to be anywhere around him. I mean, he was a mean, mean man when he was drunk. But when he is sober, he is fun to be around. And they had fun together. They talked all the time. Communication is key. Now, therefore, the purpose of communication, foundationally, the purpose of communication is to build a strong, spiritual, special oneness marriage. If you want to have a special oneness marriage, if you want to have a spiritual home, if you want to have a strong home, strong marriage home, you've got to communicate with your mate. And if you don't communicate with your mate, you are never going to have a special oneness, spiritual, strong home. Because the lack of communication will undermine every single one of that aspect of oneness, being spiritual, and being strong. You say, well, if we just obey the Bible, we can have a spiritual home without communicating. How can you have that when the Bible tells you to communicate? When the Bible tells you to talk, when the Bible tells you to have a special oneness with your mate, how are you going to do that and not communicate? You never will. You never will. And if you go through your life, as I told you this morning, with the average American couple only spending 17 minutes of together communication time a week, you're never going to have a special oneness home. When it comes time for me to die, I think I'd rather have a special oneness marriage than I had $1 million in the bank. I think when it comes time to die, that my children and my grandkids would rather me have a special oneness marriage with my wife than to will them $1 million. Wow, that's a legacy that's going to carry over into their lives, Lord willing, and into another generation, Lord willing, that I hope that they look back and say, you know, Grandpa and Grandma, or Pawpaw and Grandma, they had something special. I want to have that kind of special. And I challenge all of you tonight, the purpose of communication is to establish that kind of home. You can't do it putting everything else before your home. After your relationship, personal relationship with the Lord, remember, your home is the next most important thing. Let's pray.